Eutas ibant et flebant mitentes semina sua. Going, they went and wept, casting their seed. Returning, they came back rejoicing, bearing their sheaves. Words, my friends in Christ, from Psalm 125, Vespers for today, the holy apostles Peter and Paul. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. The words we've just quoted from Psalm 125 are ones that the church applies to all the apostles, but especially to Saints Peter and Paul. Today is a major feast of the liturgical year, therefore takes precedence over Sunday. It's celebrated with an octave, that is to say, the feast is commemorated for 8 days. It is a holy day of obligation in some places in the world still, and even a civil holiday in others. I remember that from Switzerland. The church, when she institutes a feast of this rank that takes precedence over Sunday or makes it a holy day of obligation, is trying to convey to us the message that the mysteries being celebrated liturgically on such a day are ones that really merit our prayer and our attention because of the place they hold in the mystery and in the work of our salvation. It is today as well the ordination anniversary for many of your priests, many of your older priests, Bishop Dolan, Bishop Sanborn, and also myself. It's my 37th ordination anniversary, and the sacristans were thoughtful enough to put out the vestments for me to wear at the first Mass that were exactly the same ones that I wore at my ordination and as I celebrated my first Mass the following day. Believe it or not, despite the years, they still fit. Among the liturgical texts we find today, in addition to the one that we've quoted, is another one from the Psalms, Psalm 138, Nemus honorati sunt amici tui Deus. Thy friends, O God, are made exceedingly honorable, and their principality exceedingly strengthened. The text points out how the apostles Peter and Paul attained their greatness on earth and their glory in heaven. So that's the message of that one bit from the Psalms. And the other one that we have quoted, going, they wept, they went and wept, casting their seed. So there's two ideas here. Their principality was strengthened. That refers to what they accomplished throughout the world. Secondly, they went out weeping, casting the seed of the gospel. That tells us how they accomplished the first part of the proposition, how they brought the gospel to the world. Our tendency is to look at the first idea, how astounding the spread of the gospel throughout the world was, and to think of St. Peter and St. Paul as being heroic and fearless and imperturbable. But we tend to overlook the second point. They went out weeping, but they came back after the weeping, rejoicing, bearing their sheaves. That is to say, the harvest of what their tears had sown. Thought it would be good to talk about that at least a little bit today. While we can't identify ourselves with the heroism and the fearlessness of Saints Peter and Paul, we certainly can identify with their tears. And in this, we should find our consolation. We see the greatness, their greatness in their lives. Peter, formerly Simon, was a young ordinary fisherman, our Lord calls him. Peter was a bit of an impulsive type. He follows our blessed Lord. And he spends 3 years schooling under our Lord. He is anointed, as it were, on Pentecost by the Holy Ghost. He is commissioned by Christ to go out and spread the gospel to the world. And he is commissioned in a special way, as we hear from the gospel today, to be the rock upon which the church is founded. So he sets out to conquer the world, to destroy paganism, to build a mighty spiritual kingdom for Christ. And he succeeds. In St. Paul's life, we see this, formerly called Saul. He was a young Jewish student of Gamaliel, a rabbi, a great teacher. He was, however, a sworn enemy of the church. Our Lord converts him through his grace on the road to Damascus, where St. Paul is going to persecute Christians. He's knocked off his horse, blinded. Then he is cured. He converts, and he is baptized. He spends 3 years living in the desert of Arabia, conversing with Almighty God, and then he sets out to convert the world. He becomes the apostle to the Gentiles, that is to say, to those who were not Jews, who were not God's chosen people. He preaches in Athens to the pagans there. He is imprisoned in Rome and in Caesarea. He tells us in one of his epistles that he was scourged 5 times, 3 times he was beaten with rods, stoned once, and shipwrecked 3 times. Nevertheless, he persists. He becomes all things to all men to convert the world for Christ. And like St. Peter, he too succeeds. How did they succeed, or perhaps why? Peter was a brash, boastful personality, impulsive, and he had a tendency to cowardice at times. He confesses that Christ is the Son of the living God, that we encounter in today's gospel. He wants to defend Christ in the garden with a sword, and he professes before the Passion of Christ that I will never deny you. All others may do it, but not I, sed non ego. But of course he does. Then, coming to his senses, he weeps bitterly, flavit amare, the gospel says. He is a man who knows what it is to sin. But more importantly, he knows what it is to be sorry, to have tears of repentance, and to convert. And his tears of repentance water the ground for the seeds of the goodness he accomplishes for the rest of his life. Tradition says that he wept every morning. But these tears were not only tears of sadness over past sins, but tears of joy over the forgiveness he had received from our Lord. So too St. Paul. He was present at the stoning of St. Stephen, the first martyr. He cooperated with it. He watched over the cloaks of those who were doing the stoning. They took off their cloaks so they could do a better job of aiming and throwing the rocks as hard as they could at St. Stephen. Imagine the reproach of his conscience after his conversion. He also speaks in 2 Corinthians of the stimulus carnis, the thorn of the flesh, that he suffered from. Some of the fathers of the church say that this was a temptation to sins of the flesh. Others say that it was an inclination toward melancholy and toward sadness. In the Acts of the Apostles, he speaks of serving the Lord with humility and with weeping. And in the epistles to the Corinthians, he says, I wrote to you with many tears. He weeps for the sins of his converts. For 3 years I cease not to admonish you with many tears. But he weeps for his own sins as well. What are the lessons to draw from this? First, tears and sorrow for our sins are not ends in themselves. That's rather how the world would see sorrow over sin. The world's idea is that you overcome guilt, the feeling of guilt, they call it, for doing something wrong. And that's it. It's simply a personal feeling that you overcome. But for the Christian, tears and sorrow for sins are not merely ends in themselves, but rather a preparation for something better. We see in Peter and Paul men with great sins. St. Peter denied our blessed Lord. And imagine that. He knew our Lord in the flesh. He saw our Lord walk this earth. He knew who our blessed Lord was. He saw him work all of these miracles. Yet he denied our blessed Lord. Or St. Paul, who was a cooperator in the death of the first martyr for the faith, and who was a persecutor of the church. In the case of both of them, these are sins directly against God himself, far greater than the sins of weakness which constitute the majority of the sins that we repeatedly commit and are discouraged by. For Peter and Paul, though, their tears and their sorrow were not a dead end. They had the wisdom to look beyond tears to the forgiveness of Christ, to transcend their tears, and to go on to achieve great things. That is the lesson of the tears of St. Peter and the tears of St. Paul, and one that we all should remind ourselves of today and every day. That tears sow the seeds of forgiveness and conversion and of grace, and that we can transcend the sadness that we have and go on to do great things just as they did great things. So that, as the psalmist said, one day we can come back bearing our sheaves, that is to say, the produce of a fruitful and joyful harvest. May that be yours. God bless you. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.